The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, we have 1 hour left of our week's broadcast. Well, actually, 54 minutes left. Actually, 53 minutes left. Thank you for joining me on this Friday on Bob Burney Live. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. We enter this hour with one phone line available, 1-877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Again, Joy and I are looking forward to being at the Relationships Under Construction Banquet tonight at the Villa Milano over on Schrock Road. And I hope you will be there as well. And if you are, please give Joy and I the privilege and the opportunity of at least saying hello. If you don't want to shake hands, that's fine. We'll fist bump. We'll elbow bump. We'll wave at each other. Anyway, we'd love to see you tonight at the banquet. Starts at 6:30, so I am going to have to hurry the minute we sign off, run down to the car, and drive legally, of course, but as fast as I can. Joy is going to meet me there, and I hope many of you meet us there as well. The Relationships Under Construction Banquet tonight at the Villa Milano. All right, let's go to the phones, and we've got Paul in Grove City. How are you, Paul?
Bob.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, man.
How are you, man?
My Friday wouldn't be good if I didn't talk to my good buddy here.
Well, and I would probably go home and pout and think that you're mad at me. I probably wouldn't sleep the entire weekend thinking, man, Paul, I said something, Paul got mad at me. So it's good that you called. Now I can sleep.
Hey, I come to you with, like I do mostly, with little words of wisdom, or not words of wisdom, but some words of wisdom from you. Of like, for instance, the Chuck Schumer man. What do you think, Bob? Is he going to get a pass?
Of course he will. There was never one moment of doubt that he will get a pass. If the tables were turned, and if Mitch McConnell made exactly the same statement about two of the liberal justices, Sotomayor and Ginsburg, there would be calls for his head. There would already be a move to impeach him, to remove him from the Senate, that he would be censured. And there is any reasonable person, I don't care whether you're liberal, conservative, any reasonable person knows that if Mitch McConnell said exactly the same thing, it's very possible he could be removed from the Senate. Chuck Schumer's a liberal. Nah, he'll get a pass.
So when does it end? I mean, when do we draw the line? I mean, I'm not saying we have a full-blown revolution, but, I mean, it's like, you know, time in and time out, they seem to get by with so much, Bob, and it's just so frustrating.
Here in America, we do it in elections, Paul, the liberal left is getting more and more blatant in their disregard for American tradition, but much more importantly, the Constitution. They are becoming more and more hysterical, more and more mean-spirited, more and more divisive. And I would hope that the American public wakes up and realizes this is not what we want. And you know what What troubles me more than anything about Chuck Schumer is his unwillingness to admit it. I have, hey, Paul, we all do stupid things. Now, maybe you never do, but I've done more than my fair share. I have said some absolutely dumb things. I've said dumb things from the pulpit. I've said things on this program. I've had to go back the next day or 2 days later and say, man, folks, I apologize. I honor a person who makes a mistake in the heat of battle, in the heat of emotions, and then owns it. But Chuck Schumer goes on the floor of the Senate and says, well, I shouldn't have used those words, but nobody would take those words and think I was actually threatening the justices. I meant that there would be political consequences.
Uh-huh.
Paul, you listen to what he said. Listen to what he said, and no reasonable person would conclude from that he meant political consequences for the Republican Party. He named two justices. He named them, and by the way, he didn't call them justices. He used their last name as a form of derision. He didn't give them their proper title, Justice Kavanaugh, and you know, and he named them, and he said to them, "You will not know what hit you."
No.
And then for him to go on the floor of the Senate and try to weasel his way out of it, just absolutely despicable. But will anything happen? Nah.
One last thing. So do you think after this election, when Trump wins, because I really sincerely think he is going to win, Bob, and I can't help but think with the way the Democrats or Dumb-rats or whatever you want to call them responding, do you think there's going to be some kind of a revolution possibly because of the way they are behaving right now?
I don't know. Paul, if Trump wins, and I'm with you, I think he will, I hope it's a landslide.
Yeah.
If it is close, you can take what's happened in the last 3 years and multiply it by 100.
It is
going to be bad if it's close. I pray that it's not even close. I pray that it is a landslide so nobody can say, the Russians did it, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Now, what's going to be interesting is if Bernie Sanders and Biden are close at the Democratic National Convention and Sanders is robbed of the nomination, listen, some of Bernie Sanders' people are just whackouts.
I
fear what Bernie Sanders supporters will do because some of them are just off the chart. So anyway, we'll see. It's really going to be fascinating to watch this campaign and the election in November.
Yeah. All right, my man. Always good talking to you.
All right, you as well, Paul. Hope you have a great weekend. All right.
Thanks, Bob, buddy.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. And we're going to take a break. Next up will be Carl in Gahanna. But with Paul hanging up, I got a phone line for you. Now, maybe you disagree completely with everything I just said. Well, let's talk. Reasonably, but let's talk. All right, we'll return.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, it's a Friday, and we can talk about just about anything you want to talk about. 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Next up is Carl in Gahanna. Hi, Carl. Welcome. You're on Bob Burney Live.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me on again.
My pleasure.
my question was what you thought about Phil Haney and what happened to him.
Well, it's too early to really know anything. For our listeners, Phil Haney was a whistleblower, blew the whistle on some really unseemly things going on in the Obama administration. Was, if I remember correctly, Carl, he was a Democratic operative, wasn't he? I think he even worked in the Obama administration, then became a whistleblower, became a conservative, was a frequent guest on Fox News and a lot of conservative programs. And he was found dead in California of a single gunshot wound in a park and ride facility next to a pretty busy road, I think up in Northern California. The sheriff's office initially released a statement that it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. They then backtracked on that. In fact, here is the statement from the sheriff's office on February 22nd. The Amador County Sheriff's Office released initial details regarding Philip Haney being found deceased in our jurisdiction. Mr. Haney was located in a park and ride open area immediately adjacent to State Highway 16. Highway 16 is a busy state highway, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Currently, we have scheduled a forensic autopsy to be performed by forensic pathologists from the Sacramento County Coroner's Office. Additionally, we have reached out to law enforcement partners and the Federal Bureau of Investigation to assist in analyzing the documents and so forth. And then it goes on. Unfortunately, there was misinformation immediately being put out that we had determined that Mr. Haney's death to be a suicide. That is not the case. We are currently in the beginning phase of our investigation, and any final determination as to the cause and manner of Mr. Haney's death would be extremely premature and inappropriate. No determination will be made until all the evidence is examined and analyzed. The investigation is still active, will be ongoing. No further details will be provided at this time. So, Carl, that's the official statement. They backtracked on the suicide thing. But as far as I know, there were no witnesses, even though it's a very busy area, I guess, on a busy highway. So I don't know. I think we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
I guess we lost Carl. Whoops. Okay, yes. Now, the conspiracies are already churning. I rarely listen to Glenn Beck, but the day after this happened, when he was found dead, I just happened to tune in to Glenn Beck. And evidently, this Phil Haney and Glenn Beck had become very, very good friends, very close friends. And Glenn Beck, for whatever reason, was fanning the fires of conspiracy. He basically said, I know Phil Haney. I just talked to him a few days ago. There's no way he would have committed suicide. It can't be suicide. So there are all kinds of rumors, conspiracies running around. Right now, I don't see any evidence of any kind of conspiracy. Local police, county police, state police, and the FBI are all involved. And I would, hey, have people been knocked off, killed? Of course they have. In this case, this is just my personal opinion. With so many agencies involved and the stature of this guy as a whistleblower, I think it would be pretty difficult to pull off a hit and get by with it. But stranger things have happened. So I just think it's much too soon to draw any kind of conclusion or make any assumptions. So we'll just have to wait and see. And when the final reports are released, we'll have to see if they pass the smell test. So evidently the guy was he either just got married or was going to get married. His first wife died, went through terrible depression, and then began dating, and everybody said he was just happy as a lark, and he was, yeah, he was going to, I think he was going to get married soon. So those closest to him said, nah, no, 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 he couldn't have committed suicide. But again, stranger things have happened. Depression is something that's unpredictable. I was, and I cannot divulge name or any of the circumstances, but someone I know well, someone in ministry, sent me a note and said, yeah, hey, I haven't been feeling good. And I says, oh, well, you know, what's the problem? And they shared with me very openly, they're dealing with depression and they're getting help. And I immediately responded to that individual, good for you. Thank you for facing this. Thank you for not sweeping it under the rug. Thank you for not feeling that because you have admitted you're dealing with depression, that you're disqualified from ministry and there's some kind of stigma hanging over your head. No, 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 no. I am firmly convinced David suffered from depression. I am absolutely convinced of that, that he suffered deeply from depression. I think at times Solomon may have. Jeremiah, there is no doubt. I think Timothy in the New Testament possibly could have suffered from depression. I've said this many times, folks. If there is one place there should be no stigma whatsoever attached to mental illness, it should be the church. If there is one place on planet Earth where people should be able to speak openly about struggling with mental or emotional issues, it ought to be the church. And yet, for such a long time, that's been the worst place. And people are afraid to admit that they're struggling with mental illness or depression. That's got to change. I've said this hundreds and hundreds of times. I am diabetic. I have to take insulin every day and two other medications. Not ashamed of it. Not embarrassed about it, because my pancreas just doesn't work. The brain is an organ of the body just like my pancreas, except it's probably 10,000 times more complex than the pancreas. If the pancreas or the liver or the lungs can have problems, you tell me the brain can't? I take medication because my pancreas doesn't work. Sometimes it's essential to take medication because your brain doesn't work right. That just makes sense. And yet we have stigmatized this, particularly in the church. And it's wrong. It's wrong.